Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
Don't let evil triumph. Do something. Cast your vote.
The Democrats' faith outreach in 2010 hasn't been anything like it was in 2008.
At best, so-called same-sex marriage is an untested social experiment, and at worst, it poses a dangerous risk with potentially far-reaching consequences.
We have a lot of people who are in same-sex relationships in our Catholic communities, and the DVD campaign was very hurtful to them and to their families and friends, and to many other Catholics.
The liturgy is a great protection. It simply proclaims the good news of Jesus in a way that is so rich and so full that I've never seen any sort of man-made substitute that could do the job the same way.
Florida truck drivers love Issues, etc.
I kind of like this. We're kind of falling into a certain rhythm here on Issues, etc. Feels familiar. Sermon reviews on Wednesday. We try and review as many different kinds of sermons as we can. Some are unavoidable. One of the more influential megachurches until recently in the United States, Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois. Bill Hybels, its head pastor, longtime, in fact, founding pastor. It's a great example of what has been the primary influence in Pop American evangelicalism, Pop American Christianity. So it seems fitting to review a sermon preached by Bill Hybels. He's doing a sermon series at Willow Creek lately on troublemakers, and the sermon we're going to review in this first hour of Issues, etc., on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 3rd, is about Jeremiah and his tough assignment. We'll see, according to our sermon diagnostic that we always use on every sermon we review, how often Jesus is mentioned. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And what are the verbs that are attached to Jesus? Now, some of these sermons, you won't hear a mention of Jesus, in which case the diagnostic kind of doesn't do you much good. If a preacher refuses to preach about Jesus or even mention him, perhaps until the end, in Jesus' name, at the end of the concluding prayer, and not much you can do with it. You can conclude, however, that the sermon wasn't about Jesus, but about someone else. In this case, we'll see whether it's about Jesus or Jeremiah. Now, our sermon review is based upon solid biblical foundations. This isn't something that we kind of cast about and made up here at Issues, etc. I'll get to the biblical foundations of our sermon review and our diagnostic here in just a moment. A little bit later on the program, in fact, in the second hour, we'll do some post-election analysis. It's hard to do these things, especially so close to the events, but we'll do our best with Mark Hemingway of the Washington Examiner. We'll talk about some key races, wins, losses, the shift of power in the American political landscape in the second hour of Issues, etc. Then after that, we'll talk eternal punishment. Odd as it may seem, some of those trailing edge Christians, and I'm talking here about the old mainline liberal denominations that long ago dispensed with the idea of sin and therefore hell, have something in common with those who consider themselves at the very leading edge of Christianity, the emergent church. Both of them, for some reason, are really uncomfortable with the idea of eternal punishment. Chris Roseborough of the internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith will join us and talk about eternal punishment for the remainder of the second hour. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page, leave a question or comment for Chris Roseborough in the second hour right there. We've left room for you, facebook.com/issuesetc. ETC. Our sermon diagnostic is simple, three parts, and as I said before, firmly rooted in what the Bible expects Christians to hear when Christian preaching takes place. Jesus himself, let's start with him. What does he expect Christian preaching at its very basic to sound like? He says in Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. There's several parts of that. One, that the message be about our sin and God's provision for our sin, namely the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. If any of those elements are left out, you can hardly call it Christian preaching, at least according to the man himself, Christ. Then, of course, we have the testimony of Jesus regarding what the Holy Spirit's going to be doing. And, of course, everybody says that their preaching is led by the Spirit. Jesus says when the Comforter does come, the one that he will send from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of who? Me. Jesus. So we can expect from Jesus' own mouth that Christian preaching, his expectation is that Christian preaching ought to be about Jesus, ergo our diagnostic. We break it down. Part one, how often is Jesus mentioned? Now, if he isn't mentioned at all, find a different church to go to. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a simple running tally, like you would if you are doing time in prison on the wall, except do it on your paper in front of you. How often Jesus, explicitly Jesus, is mentioned, not God generically. Anybody can do that. The Buddhist can do that. The Mormon can do that. The Jew, the Muslim. Jesus is the subject of Christian preaching. So keep that running tally. How often is Jesus mentioned? If Jesus is mentioned, then you can go on to part two of the diagnostic. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Why do we ask this question? It's very simple. Grammar means stuff. If Jesus is the subject of the verb, that means he is the one who is doing the doing. He is the one who is driving the verbs. He is the one of whom we are speaking. He and his actions. Then, if Jesus is the subject of the verbs, you have to ask one more question to make sure that everything's on track, and that is, what are those verbs? Because a preacher can preach to you a Jesus who inspires, motivates, coaches you through life, shows you how, but he hasn't yet preached the Jesus who is your substitute, who lives, suffers, dies, and rises again for you as your substitute. There's a big difference between those two Jesuses. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? And if you have time near the end, you can always step back at the end of the sermon and ask yourself one other question. That is, what was the problem the preacher diagnosed in me? And what remedy did he give me, if any at all, for that problem? Is the problem sin, for which there is only one remedy, a Savior, namely Jesus? Or did he diagnose my problem as something less than sin? Stress, disorganization, lack of motivation, you name it, for which there are all sorts of remedies that don't require a dead Jesus on the cross. So here's the sermon, preached by Pastor Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church. It's part of a series on troublemakers. The troublemaker he's talking about today, Jeremiah.
Truth be told, there's something a little sexy about the idea of being a troublemaker for God, isn't there? I mean, the idea of receiving special operations assignment from the transcendent God, carrying all those assignments out in his strength and against overwhelming odds, and then eventually seeing something transformative come out of it all. I mean, Esther, the young Esther, stirs up trouble in God's name, and she saves a whole nation. And then a young guy named Daniel makes some trouble, and he brings an oppressive king to his knees and turns a whole nation around. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a James Bond for God type person, even if that were your case, if you were to know that you were going to survive all the gunfights and all the car chases, wind up saving the world and maybe getting a blonde at the end of the story? I mean, it's easy to romanticize this idea of being a troublemaker for God. But how would you feel about signing up for a mission from God if you knew, if you knew in advance anyway, that some of the stunts in the adventure weren't going to work out so well, and that you were going to physically get some black and blue marks? And what if you understood partway through your assignment that you weren't going to save the world? In fact, you weren't going to wind up changing many things, and you weren't going to wind up with a blonde. How eager would any of us be to stand in a line and volunteer to make trouble for God when doing so might create some trouble and some pain in our own lives? Now, some of you might have already jumped ahead of me And maybe you're already asking the kind of question we dealt with in the God Unboxed series. Would a good God ever give a son or daughter that he loved a terrible assignment to carry out? Would a good God allow some of the sons and daughters to experience injury in the carrying out of a mission or even death? Would a good God give an assignment to one of his sons or daughters, knowing full well there's little possibility of it ever being successful? Maybe not even changing one life. I love the God Unboxed subject matter and series. I loved it so much that when we finish this Troublemaker series, we've changed the teaching assignment a little bit, and I get to teach a couple more times, and I'm going to do a couple more weekends about God Unboxed. But we're going to go back to this question we're looking at right now. Would a good God ask one of his troublemaking sons or daughters to sign up for a mission that will create huge amounts of trouble and heartbreak in their lives? Well, we're going to look at Jeremiah. God comes to a young man. Most people think he's probably in his late teenage years, no older than that. And he comes to him and he says these words: "Do not say I am only a child." Don't cop out and say you're too young for this assignment, Jeremiah. "Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to, and you must say whatever I command you to say."
All right, we'll come back to the sermon on the other side of the break. That's Pastor Bill Hybels preaching at Willow Creek Community Church, one of the largest mega churches, and up until recently one of the most influential, preaching a sermon about Jeremiah. We'll see if he can get from Jeremiah to Jesus in the course of this sermon and turn it into a Christian sermon. It's Wednesday afternoon, November the 3rd. Stay tuned for more sermon review.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, doing a little sermon review on this Wednesday afternoon, listening to a sermon preached by Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church on Jeremiah. Of course, the diagnostic is, how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs, and what are those verbs? He's introduced Jeremiah, Jeremiah's tough assignment. I think that's the theme of this sermon is Jeremiah's tough assignment. Let's see if he gets us from Jeremiah to Jesus.
Now, Jeremiah is just a little bit hesitant when he receives this assignment. He's not sure what he's getting into, and he gets a little additionally nervous when God says this next thing to him. They will fight against you, but not overcome you. Jeremiah wonders, who's going to fight against me? How many of them are there? How hard? How long are they going to fight against me? How tough is the battle going to be? But then God says these words, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you. Two big words. I am with you, and I will rescue you. Well, that sounds just reassuring enough to Jeremiah. So he says, I'm in. Count me in. I'm ready to go. Sign me up for this. Quick side note, many of you have been prompted by God to take up an assignment in his name. Some of you remember right where you were, the circumstances and everything, where you said, okay, then God, I will. Others of us, maybe it was a process when we finally signed up to do something that God challenged us to do. But this is for sure, Jeremiah will not forget this day. He goes, okay, God, let's do this. So Jeremiah's all in, and then he receives in specificity what his assignment is going to be. The God of the universe wants him to say difficult words to the nation of Israel. He's going to be the bearer of bad news, if you will. In fact, he's going to be the bearer of terrible news. God wants Jeremiah to go from city to city and announce to people that because they have forsaken God, because they have forsaken God's wisdom and his ways, because they have forsaken the poor, forsaken the widows and the aliens and the marginalized, that God is going to allow enemy nations to sweep in and defeat them in battle and carry them off into foreign lands. This is not a popular message to have to give. How would you like to go door to door, knock on the door, whoever comes to the door, you say, hello, ma'am, this will only take a moment. Bad stuff is coming down. God is fed up with the rebellion of Israel, and he's coming in the form of enemies to come and drag us all away into captivity. Have a great day. Now, this is the kind of message that God asks Jeremiah to deliver day in and day out to leaders, to commoners, to anyone he can get an audience with. And as you might imagine, Jeremiah's approval rating starts to plummet. And before you know it, when people see him coming to their city, they go, keep walking, Jeremiah, just walk right on by. We know your shtick. We've heard that you bring doom and gloom. So just pass right on by. We don't need you.
All right. It's a good exposition of Jeremiah's call. It's a good exposition of what essentially Jeremiah's message is going to be. Jeremiah is a prophet preaching repentance. I know you've often heard he's called the weeping prophet, but really the message that Jeremiah preaches is not just bad news, but repentance, a stern warning from God. And Jeremiah, yes, is largely unheeded. In fact, one might even say he is rejected by those who hear his message. And I think Bill Hybels is doing a fair enough job of explaining that. Now, good Old Testament lesson. Of course, Jesus says, these scriptures that you search for therein you think you find eternal life, these are those that testify of me. So, will we find Pastor Hybels finding a way? And there is a way in the text, of course, even in Jeremiah, of doing what Jesus says the scriptures do, that is, testifying of Christ. It's one thing to testify about Jeremiah, nothing wrong with that. But Jesus says the scriptures, their purpose is to testify of him, of Jesus, which is why I keep saying, let's see if he can get from Jeremiah, which is perfectly legitimate. You have to go through this. You have to understand who Jeremiah is, what God called him to do, what he did, what the consequences were. But what does that have to do with Jesus? Many preachers would say nothing. Maybe we'll see in the course of this sermon with Bill Hybels whether or not he's one of those preachers that says this Jeremiah stuff really doesn't have much to do with Jesus. It has to do with you, which is kind of a classical example of what I mean when I say preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. It's a sermon review this Wednesday afternoon. You can join us, by the way, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Now, this is no fun at all for young Jeremiah. I mean, he was fired up about being on a mission from God, but this mission is a downer. And he knows it, and everyone else knows it. And he's getting a little sick of doing it. Then one day, God does something quite unusual. God says, all right, Jeremiah, here's a new assignment in keeping with the old one. You go to the potter who's down the way, and you buy a jar. And you pick up that jar, and you walk around with that jar for a while. I've got a reason for why I'm going to have you walk around with this jar. But trust me, walk around with it for a time. So Jeremiah keeps giving his message, and he keeps walking around with this jar. Well, then one day he's walking with this jar, and there's a huge crowd that forms. And they're all looking at him, and they're all wondering why he's carrying around this jar. And again, Jeremiah doesn't know why he's carrying around the jar. He's just obeying God. And then all of a sudden, God gives him a prompting. And out of nowhere, here's what God prompts Jeremiah to do. Just bash the jar. Can you imagine? Now, look what the scriptures say. Break the jar while people are watching and say to them, this is what the Almighty says. I will smash this nation and this city just as this potter's jar is smashed. Now that's heavy. Imagine if I had something like that and I said, all right, Willow. And if I smashed something, I said, I had about enough. I asked you to volunteer for Promised Land and you didn't. Bam! And I bust something and this is what's going to happen to you if, you know, you would no longer carry pictures of me in your wallet, would you? Well, they're not carrying pictures of Jeremiah in their wallets anymore. And in fact, after that jar-smashing incident, right after it, people were so upset with him that they hauled him off to the side and they beat the living daylights out of him. And after they got done physically beating him, they tied him up and they put him, for humiliation's sake, right next to the main gate going in and out of the city, so everyone who went in and out of the city could see him and slap him across the face, spit on him, and most people, when they went by, simply said, will you please shut up now?
All right. I mean, this is a good, he's kind of finding a way of bringing forward the story of Jeremiah and the adversity that he suffered, but still only about Jeremiah. Will this go on to apply? Here's the question I think that we need to begin to entertain here at this point in the sermon review. Will this go on to apply only to Jeremiah? There are three choices here, aren't there? Only to Jeremiah. To Jesus, man, is there stuff here to make application to Jesus Christ? I mean, being rejected in your message, preaching repentance, and being beaten, left outside the city to be ridiculed, there's all sorts. I mean, if he wants to make a connection, he doesn't have to make a gigantic leap to get to Jesus Christ. Or I guess the only other option would be applying it to you, which will happen here in the course of this sermon being preached by Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church on Jeremiah, so far only on Jeremiah. It's part of his sermon series titled Troublemakers. I mean, I wonder if the sermon series will eventually end up with Jesus Christ. But again, we're stuck with that pesky passage from Jesus himself, where he says, all of Scripture, no matter what it is, testifies of him. They bear witness about me, even the stuff in Jeremiah. So, should we expect Bill Hybels preaching the story of Jeremiah to testify of Jesus? Have we heard Jesus mentioned yet? Answer, no. So the rest of the diagnostic doesn't really work yet. So far, it's preaching Jeremiah. So far, it's at the very best showing us a good little history lesson on who Jeremiah was and what he went through. What will the application be? We'll see on the other side of the break. It's Wednesday afternoon, November the 3rd. We're coming to you live reviewing this sermon by Pastor Bill Hybels on Jeremiah. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. Visit our Facebook fan page and leave a question or a comment for Chris Rosebro. In the second hour, we'll be talking with him about eternal punishment and why people on the left and people in the emergent church both find the idea so repugnant, even to the point of rejecting it entirely. Facebook.com/issuesETC. You can send us a tweet at issuesETC. And an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Before we talk with Chris Rosebro in the second hour of the program, we'll be spending a few minutes with Mark Hemingway. Yesterday was a big day and a big night. If you watched any television last night, it was either on the screen the entire time or the only thing that was on TV, election results. We'll see what they mean in the second hour of the program. When we come back, more sermon review. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
An Ohio man forced his pregnant girlfriend at gunpoint to drive to an abortion mill to abort their baby. In the process, he was caught and arrested. Prosecutors are now charging him with attempted murder of the unborn child. Ohio and dozens of other states have fetal homicide laws. These allow for the prosecution of anyone causing an unlawful termination of pregnancy. They're most often used when a pregnant woman is killed in a car accident or by deadly assault. Additional charges are filed if an unborn baby also dies. One law professor called the recent charges creative, but not far-fetched. Another legal expert said the facts were clearly against the assailant. This will be an interesting one to watch, with potential future trouble for Roe versus Wade. I'll keep you posted.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, November the 3rd. Thanks to Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. And Pastor DeVries there. They're part of the Issues Etc. 300. And your congregation can be as well. An important note there, and that is many congregations right now are putting together their budgets for next year. That means they're deciding what's in, what's out, what to add, what to take out. I know that times are tough for many congregations. That's why we ask you at this time to approach your congregation and with this idea of including Issues Etc. in your annual budget, $1,000 per year, and that makes you an Issues Etc. 300 congregation. You can find out all about the Issues Etc. 300, what it means for your congregation to be a member, and how they become a member of the 300. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. There's a one-page flyer there. It's a PDF file. You simply click there, download, print it off, and that means you can learn from for yourself what the Issues Etc. 300 is, and then you can take that flyer to your congregation and use it as the basis of asking them right now at budget planning time to include issues, etc., in your mission or advertising budget. It's our church sponsorship program, the Issues, etc. 300. We're reviewing a sermon by Pastor Bill Hybels preached on Jeremiah, and as I said before, so far, it's only about Jeremiah. This is a history lesson so far, not a bad history lesson. Obviously, he studied his stuff, but nothing more yet than a history lesson. Let's see where Pastor Heibel goes with the Jeremiah stuff after this.
Enough of this doom and gloom. Now, eventually he gets freed. When he gets freed and gets off by himself, he goes ballistic. And not at the people who did this terrible thing to him. He goes ballistic at God. No kidding. I'm going to read you some excerpts of what he says to God. Jeremiah 20. O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm going to come back to that verse in just a second, because there's something just beneath the veneer of that that's really interesting. But let me give you the sense of the rant as I go on. He says, I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. When I speak words from the Lord, the result is insult and reproach all day long. I didn't think speaking your words was going to result in this kind of atrocity. And after he gets that off his chest, he really tells God how he feels. Look at some of these verses. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me be not blessed. What's he saying? I hate my birthday. Every time I think of my birthday, I hate it. And then he goes further. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news saying, a child is born to you. You know, curse the guy who comes out of the delivery room passing out balloons and cigars. I hate that guy too. Why did I come out of the womb, he asked, to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? Is my whole life going to be like this? This is not just a bad hair day for Jeremiah. This is a bad life day. Now, go back to that first thing he says in Jeremiah 20, where he says, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. This verse loses a lot of its punch because of how it's translated in English. The word deceived in the original language actually means seduced, and it has sexual connotations. Jeremiah is so frustrated and angry with God that he says, God, you sweet-talked me like an older man sweet-talks a younger woman to have his way with her. And I bought it. I was young and eager and naive, and you took advantage of all of that to sign me up for this terrible mission. And I'm ticked off, and I feel betrayed. I feel taken advantage of. This is quite a charge that Jeremiah is leveling at the God of the universe.
If this is just being judged on the basis of an exposition of Jeremiah the prophet and his ministry, I think he's doing a stellar job of kind of delving into the mind of Jeremiah. There's a great insight in there in Jeremiah's words to God, his complaint against God, which are very common in the prophet Jeremiah. And as a history lesson, as an insight into the psychology of Jeremiah, this is pretty good stuff. But is it anything more than just a history lesson or a psychological, perhaps emotional study of an ancient figure like Jeremiah? Is it any more than that? Does this scripture, as Jesus says all of scripture does, testify to Jesus Christ? And if so, when will we start hearing about Jesus rather than only Jeremiah? We're doing a review of Pastor Bill Hybels' sermon preached this Sunday at Willow Creek Community Church on Jeremiah, part of his series on troublemakers. 1-877-623-MYIE, our Twitter address at IssuesETC, our email address talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's go back to the sermon.
He's actually saying in Chicago-style language, you conned me, God. You conned me. I was weak or at a weak moment in my life. You took advantage of me, conned me into this terrible mission, and now I resent it. I was wondering if some of you who have been assigned tough missions from God. I was wondering if any of you ever would talk to God that way. I think some of you would say, oh, I would never talk to God that way. But from my vantage point, can I tell you what I've seen a lot of Creekers do? I haven't seen many Creekers shake their fist at God when they get a tough assignment from God. All I see Creekers do is bail. Just walk away from their assignment. Just say, who needs this? And then wash their hands of it and go their own way. You all know that I love this church. I really do. But it has been heartbreaking for me over the years to watch how many Creekers I've had to watch walk away from difficult assignments God gave them. I hang around the church and there are people who track me down. They've got promptings from God, whispers from God, and they're so excited to tell me about them. I say, tell me, what is this thing that you think God wants you to do? And then out it comes. I'm going to work with junior high students. I'm going to volunteer in Elevate. Or I'm going to be a volunteer in the Cars ministry. Or someone says, you know what? Where I work, nobody knows God. And I'm going to start a Bible study in my office. Or I'm going to start a neighborhood group of some kind. I'm going to go on a short-term mission. I'm going to work at the care center. I'm going to open my home for a student impact group. On and on, these exciting missions are announced to me. And people burst out of the starting blocks like they're really, you know, going to run this race. And then, the shine wears off. The routine sets in. The long winter months come, the roads get snowy. Ministry gets hard. Someone doesn't cooperate. Another leader drops a ball. There's a resistance. Not enough people sign up for the Bible study. And then I see these same folks who were so fired up just 3 months prior. And I ask them how their troublemaking assignment is going. The one they got from God, you see. And they say, you know, that maybe they're not doing it anymore.
Really, I mean, I want you to think about what Pastor Heibels just said there. Now, he's starting to make his application. Notice he pretty much jumped over Jesus straight to you. This is about Jeremiah and you. No Jesus required, at least not so far in this sermon. Jeremiah had a tough assignment. You have your tough assignment. Jeremiah had the tough assignment. And yes, he complained to God, but he didn't bail out like the term he uses there, Creekers. It's the way they refer to people who go to Willow Creek. But he said the most painful thing for him as a pastor of Willow Creek in the last 35 years has been people not finishing their assignments? Is this junior high? This is a church. People who start out red hot for some assignment, and then he has a long list of things that they can assign you, and then they don't finish the job because it gets tough. I don't want to predict, but I think I can predict where the sermon's going. That is, be more like Jeremiah, stop being like these Creekers who bail out, and by the way, here are some assignments for you. No Jesus required whatsoever. Straight application from Jeremiah of the Old Testament to you, and in essence, it's Jeremiah didn't give up, why do you give up, stop giving up, here are some more assignments. Now, I've noticed this when I listen to a lot of megachurch pastors preach. A lot of their sermons, we did a Rick Warren sermon not too long ago, and it was amazing how much infomercial there was in the sermon, how much he talked about a program that was starting up. Does your pastor do this? In the middle of the sermon, the real application comes to some new project he wants you to get involved in, some new program he's got going on in the church that he wants you to know about and sign up for. It's recruiting for church busyness. And apparently the only assignments God gives to people that are worth taking and sticking with at Willow Creek come from the sign-up board. Do they even have a sign-up board there? Something like it, I'm sure, in the narthex. It's part of the problem with the megachurch is they're really good at keeping people busy. And after a number of years, they forget that they're there to dispense the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, not just to keep Christians busy. And over time, they come to equate two things with success and with God's blessing. One, the number of people, and number two, the number of people who are kept busy. And you soon discover when you join one of these churches, it's not enough just to join the church and be a Christian. The real point is staying busy, busy, busy. Then you know you're a fully devoted follower, as Bill Hybels says, of Jesus Christ. More of this sermon review not looking good, but we'll keep going on the other side of the break.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Proclaiming Christ, not the Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the 2011 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
The listeners to Issues Etc. already have had contact through the program with lecturers who will be in Strasbourg this next summer. Craig Parton, myself, Dr. Minuge, Angus Minuge, Adam Francisco, and these lecturers are people who have defended the faith, who know how to defend the faith, and who are marvelous communicators. And so, if a listener to this program wants to learn how to present the case for Christianity in a secular situation, the 2 weeks in the French Rhineland with us would be an absolutely ideal way to achieve this.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 5th through the 16th in Strasbourg, France, at apologeticsacademy.eu.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, shouldn't be ashamed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our sermon review. Reviewing Bill Hybels' sermon from this Sunday. He's preaching about Jeremiah. So far, only about Jeremiah. It's part of his sermon series titled Troublemakers. Jeremiah was a troublemaker. He had a troublemaking assignment. I'm summarizing for you if you haven't heard it so far. Jeremiah was a troublemaker. God made him a troublemaker. He was given the assignment, tough assignments. He was given one tough assignment after another. And although he railed against God and complained rather viciously against God, he kept taking troublesome assignments, even when they were completely fruitless. Now, the application, with no reference whatsoever to Jesus at all, although ample opportunity exists there in the Jeremiah story to apply and to show its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Application so far? Well, Pastor Heibel says he sees a lot of people come through Willow Creek who start well on their tough assignments, their various church programs they sign up for, and then when the going gets tough, the people drop out. And he says it's one of the most heart-wrenching things that he's experienced as a pastor there. He wants people to be more like Jeremiah. Jenna in Minnesota says this, within the first sentence of the sermon being reviewed, the pastor used the word sexy, and a few moments ago he referred to Jeremiah's criticism of God as being likened to sexually seduced, which, while perhaps being accurate to the text, seems to me to be the pornification of the text. That's interesting. Never thought about that. Does he think that sexualizing his sermons makes him more culturally relevant? Please. Are we not even safe from the hypersexed culture even in our church pews? Thank you for the sermon reviews, the good, the bad, and the ugly. it is the kind of quote-unquote relevant teaching we all so desperately need. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Minnesota. By the way, our phone number, 1-877-623-6943. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. So far, no Jesus, so the diagnostic simply can't kick in. If the preacher won't mention Jesus, you can't go on to ask the question, is he the subject of the verbs, or what are those verbs? We could do a big analysis of Jeremiah and the subject of the verbs, but of course, that's not the standard. Jesus says Scripture testifies of him and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins is to be preached in his name, not Jeremiah's name, to the ends of the earth. So back to the sermon. We'll see what else we can get from it in the time remaining.
And they're, you know, it's hard for them to tell me that they just quit, but I sense what's going on. Their troublemaking assignment caused a little bit too much trouble in their own well-ordered lives. And so they just quietly bail. And they blame it on stuff. You know, there's a bad leader. Things at work got busy, whatever. I really wonder if Creekers understand how precious callings really are. How precious troublemaking assignments are. How much thought God goes to before he taps you on the shoulder and says, here's an assignment. I've crafted it for you. It might be a difficult one, but I want you to do it. I'm going to grow you up through it, and I want you to be faithful with it. I fear that some Creekers take these callings far too lightly, and they bail far too quickly. Now, Jeremiah is foot-stomping mad about his physical beating that he was just experiencing, and he feels awful that he was publicly humiliated, spit on, and laughed at, and so. And so he does rant and rave at God through the prayer. But you notice what he never does. He never quits. In fact, when he thinks about quitting on God's assignment, that troublemaking assignment that God gave him, he says these amazing words in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. If I say I will speak his words no more, if I contemplate quitting and play that out in my mind, it becomes as a fire shut up in my bones. What Jeremiah is saying is something every fully devoted follower of Christ understands completely. The only thing worse than the ongoing pain of doing something difficult for God is the internal agony of quitting and realizing that God is no longer using your life.
Now, he just used some Willow Creek code there. It's been adopted by many. I mean, if you find a pastor out there who, instead of calling you a Christian, a believer, a saint, all good biblical terms for someone who believes in Jesus Christ, instead he substituted the now and newly multi-qualified statement, fully devoted follower of Christ. It's not just enough to, by the way, to be devoted. Remember, you got to be fully devoted. It's not just enough to be a follower of Christ. You have to be the fully devoted follower of Christ. That's the new term of art for, well, it used to mean, they used to actually use words like believer and unbeliever, biblical terms. Those were gone. Once we adopted seeker instead of unbeliever, we had to come up with a substitute for believer. And instead of people who seek, it has to be followers. So a fully devoted follower of Christ. Now here, of course, he uses it with the clear implication, I think, that if you bail from your Willow Creek assignment, no matter how tough it may be, if you don't follow Jeremiah's example, then can you really call yourself a fully devoted follower of Christ? I mean, come on. Now, I will say, this is the first time he's mentioned the name Christ in the sermon. Of course, here, Jesus is just the direct object. You're the actor. You are the fully devoted follower of Christ. Your devotion, your following is what really matters rather than anything Christ has done. In fact, he can't really get anything out of what Christ has done. You know, with believer, the natural question is, what do they believe? Well, they believe that Jesus is fully sufficient for their salvation. That's not there in fully devoted follower of Christ. I imagine you could have something like a fully devoted follower of Allah, too, or a fully devoted follower of Confucius. because it's, the emphasis is really on your devotion and your following rather than on who you happen to be following. But the implication here, of course, is if you have failed or bailed out on one of your Willow Creek assignments, you can hardly call yourself a fully devoted follower of Christ. Just a few more minutes of the sermon and some final thoughts.
Can I say that again? The only thing worse than the ongoing pain of doing something difficult for God is the internal agony of quitting and then knowing God isn't using your life at all. If you ever have felt the thrill of God using your ordinary life for His purposes, in some ways, you're wrecked for life. Because the absence of that thrill is maddening to a serious-minded Christ follower. It's the stuff that keeps you awake at night. And you're like, I want to be used by God again. I want His hand on my life again. I want Him to make a difference through my life somewhere to somebody. And it starts to feel like a fire shut up in your bones. You can't live long that way. Bad stuff starts happening to your insides.
That's all the farther we can go with that sermon. There is more. I have listened to the entire thing, and I think there's one other mention of Christ at the very end. He prays a prayer that people would stop quitting their Willow Creek assignments, and then He gives them an opportunity to come up to the front and, guess what, sign up for some assignments, Willow Creek activities, and then He ends the prayer with, in Jesus' name. So two mentions of Jesus. Jesus was not the subject of the verbs. The diagnostic goes no further on a sermon like that. Here's the question I have. Just think about this for a moment. Do you think that the devil was offended by anything said in this sermon? Do you think the devil cares whether or not you heard that sermon? Do you think the devil expended one bit of energy to prevent you from hearing, Jeremiah didn't give up, why do you give up? Why aren't you a fully devoted follower of Christ? Stop giving up. Here's the assignment sheet. Do you think the devil is troubled at all that people are kept busy with their focus entirely upon their own devotion, their own activity, their own service of God? As long as he can keep your attention diverted from Christ's devotion, his service to you, what he has done, a sermon that can go from beginning to end without mentioning Jesus, much less the cross, in any real tangible way. Do you think the devil cares whether such a sermon gets preached and heard? I don't think he cares much. I don't think he minds that people sit and listen to sermons where the cross is not preached, where your sin may be presented as a failure to follow through, but absolutely no repentance is called for, and no Savior is presented as the only solution for your failure. The only solution that's presented is keep trying harder. You know, the devil finds that preached in every other religion besides Christianity, and apparently occasionally at Willow Creek, he finds it preached there too. And I don't think it bothers him one little bit that your focus is kept on you, your devotion, what you do for God, or your failure to do such things for God, and diverted from what God has done for you in Jesus Christ by his perfect life, death, and resurrection. Certainly not what Jesus expects when he says that repentance and the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to the ends of the earth. So it hardly qualifies in any real sense, although I think that Bill Hybels is a Christian. I just don't know why he won't preach like one, why he insists on preaching Jeremiah and the Christian rather than the Christ. When we come back, we'll be talking about post-election analysis. Mark Hemingway of the Washington Examiner will be our guest. Then Chris Roseborough will join us to discuss eternal punishment and why so many don't believe it anymore. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.